Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and Friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Are you a keen Sheffield Live listener? Do you want to get involved? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and it gets better when you take part. Contact us to find out how you can be part of Sheffield's newest radio station. Call us on 281-4092 or email us on info@sheffieldlive.org. 93.2 FM. Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
This is Sheffield Live.
Good Cities Live.
Because at that time the housing was cheaper.
I know it's not a big city centre, but there's still quite a few shops. I quite like it.
Dog and Partridge on Trippitt Lane every other Thursday.
I love the green room just for like acoustic nights.
This is Communities.
We have a diverse society in Sheffield.
It's friendly, a lot to do.
I really like gardens, all the little fountains and little areas that you can just sit, out and sit chilling.
This is Communities Live.
I love Sheffield. Love it. We've been here since 7 years.
And
yes.
I like Sheffield because the people are very friendly.
This is a large student community, so it makes it like very lively, very vibrant city in that regard, and also very multicultural, no?
And we love the Sheffield people.
Everything, the city, the nature, the outside of Sheffield, it's lovely. Great place.
Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Hello and welcome to Communities Live here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. I'm Oliver Dixon.
I'm Bradley Middleton.
And how are you doing, Brad?
I'm good, thank you.
Just the two of us again, isn't it? I'm good, thank you as well. It's absolutely freezing outside.
It is, isn't it?
If you're going outside around Sheffield or around the country for that matter, please wrap up.
Yes.
Because it's well into on the way to winter weather now.
Definitely.
I mean, parts of the country have even had snow.
More up north.
We haven't had snow as of yet. There's been a tiny bit of ice in parts, but just please be careful to anyone who's thinking about going outside, especially now because Sheffield is on hills.
Yeah.
Extra careful, because I've seen some accidents before when we've had snow and ice, and they're not very nice. But we kicked off the show there with Deep Purple, Smoke on the Water, and AC/DC's Highway to Hell. And Deep Purple have announced a tour in about a year's time from now.
Yeah, I'm surprised they were still going. I didn't realise they were still about.
I didn't either, but they are going to the UK in the following cities.
Yeah.
Newcastle upon Tyne, Glasgow, Birmingham, Manchester and London, as well as doing tours around Europe as well. I'm going to try and get tickets, I think, because I'd like to see them. Because, you know, one of the founding groups of heavy metal as well, along the likes of Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
Did you say, before we got on the show, Smoke on the Water was one of the first riffs you learnt as a guitar player?
Yeah, I feel like it's quite a common
it's,
riff to learn.
I wouldn't
learn.
Call it an easy riff, but it's like a good start.
Yeah, because like, when I learn, I feel like a lot of guitar players, when they do learn, they learn it all on one string, where it's actually on two strings.
It's a two-stringer.
Yeah.
It's. How long did it take you to learn it, like, fully? Did it take a while, or was it pretty?
Well, I don't know. Quick? I don't know the full song, only that one riff. But
the start and then.
Yeah.
There's a bit more to that, as we heard.
I think I must have been about when I first started learning to play. When I first got my first guitar, must have been about 10 or something. I think
10. That's a good age to start guitar, actually.
Yeah.
Early. I know people who are just starting to play guitar and they're, you know, a bit older.
Yeah.
Would you recommend playing guitar? Because it's
definitely
it's a standout instrument in most songs.
Yeah, like I definitely, the vast majority.
But
definitely recommend learning. Such a fun, definitely expensive hobby, but it's definitely fun as well.
Did you have tutors or did you teach yourself from like videos and like music platforms?
Yeah, mostly I taught myself, like just watching YouTube videos. Then I did music at college for a few years as well. So yeah, they had lessons there as well, which I took there. So,
was it good at college? I know, because in school they do some stuff based on when I was in. I didn't do music in school, but I knew people who did.
Yeah,
but in college it's a bit more advanced, isn't it?
Yeah, like when I were there, like pretty much all of the other students that were there when I were there, they'd already knew a little bit about playing an instrument, so it'd be like piano or drums or guitar or whatever. They'd already know a little bit about it already prior to starting college, sort of thing.
Indeed. And as I said, Deep Purple, in about a year from now, I think 2 days ago is the date for the first tour is in Newcastle, which is the one I'm going to try and get to for family reasons.
Yeah.
I hope tickets go on sale tomorrow on general sale. I think pre-sale's been today, or it's happening today at least. Mm. I think it's already been and gone if it was in the morning. But general sale tomorrow, so anyone trying to get tickets, we wish you the best of luck. And speaking of music and a certain, going more local, I'm going to show you a picture of what the Electrics propose to look like.
Okay.
It's going to be like a live reaction. This is I found this on the Stars Facebook just this morning.
Okay.
And you've been to the Leadmill in the past, haven't you?
No, I've not.
No.
Never been.
Okay, I'm going to show you this picture, and it's going to be a bit of a live reaction, because I saw it this morning, but here it is. Tell me what you think. I'm not sure if it's an AI-based image or it's actually been taken inside.
I don't know what to think.
It looks very open.
Yeah.
But the Leadmill was also very open as well.
I'm tempted to say almost empty-looking. If that's,
I mean, because, as I said, I'm not sure if it's an AI image, like what it's going to look like, like a proposed illustration, or it's an actual picture someone's gone in and taken.
I mean,
because
I'd imagine it'd look look better when it's full of people.
It's just the stage looks a bit small. I'm not sure if it's the angle or where the camera is or where the photo is, but I mean the floor looks pretty similar.
Yeah,
it's mainly a renovation.
Yeah,
I think they're going to keep the shape and everything because they can't really change the shape.
Yeah,
but if see if it works. I mean, I can see it's got the bar area in the left corner.
Yeah,
and then you've got the arches almost there.
Yeah,
and then you've got the stage there, which looks like it's got a DJ booth as well. But I'm not sure if that'll be for upcoming musicians and maybe some already famous musicians who fancy playing there. But it opens next year. It's proposed to open next year, and I still don't know how it's going to go. I'm not sure they're going to still be with... It's going to still have the spirit of the Lead Mill there, or it's going to be a completely new thing.
Yeah.
But I'm still not sure. I mean, I'm still a bit annoyed that they took the sign off the painting, because they could have kept that as like a memoir almost.
Yeah.
And say, it was once here, this is where it stood.
It was almost like a landmark.
And now it's just erased all...
Yeah.
Association with the Lead Mill. I'm not sure if the plaque's still on there, the pulp plaque, because I haven't walked past it for a while, so I'm going to have to have a look, because I know Jarvis Cocker really wants that plaque.
Yeah.
He's expressed it in many interviews, and I think he should have it.
Yeah, don't see why not.
Because unless that is going to be a thing that acknowledges that the Lead Mill once stood there as well, that's the only little thing.
Yeah.
But Lead Mill, I think it's Lead Mill Fridays or something. Which was like the club nights there. Mm. They've moved to like elsewhere, I think. They're in different places, but they still call it Lead Mill.
Those are the people who used to run the Lead Mill.
Yeah, I think I think they still do the events just in different venues across the city.
Right, okay.
Don't quote me on it though. I think they do, but
it'd be nice.
I hope it is. Because I seen it advertised a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Even just after the Lead Mill shut.
Oh, really?
So I hope they're still doing it. But we are going to get into some more music very shortly. And this is another band who just announced extra tour dates yesterday.
These are still going as well.
We'll find out in a second who they are. But they've announced a European tour. Unfortunately, they're not going to do the UK or Ireland, well, just yet anyways.
Yeah.
But they've announced in venues such as France, Germany and Spain, and arguably the most famous beards in music history.
Definitely.
And it is ZZ Top with Sharp Dressed Man. We'll be right back. playing two songs, ZZ Top's Sharp Dressed Man and Metallica's King Nothing. I haven't heard of that Metallica song just before today. I'm surprised about that, actually, because I usually pick up on things like that.
Yeah.
But a good song nonetheless, and I noticed at the end it's the there's a little bit of the lyric to Enter Sandman.
There is, yeah.
Off to Never Neverland. Yeah. And Enter Sandman was before that, I think.
Yeah,
so they use it as a little reference.
Yeah, so Enter Sandman was 91 when it came out, and that it's one, 96. I think, was 96 or 97 when it came out.
I'm glad they reference it, though. One of the more famous songs. But Metallica have just been touring in Australia.
Oh, have they?
At the same time as AC/DC.
Ah.
And I saw a picture the other day. James Hetfield went to... It's called AC/DC Lane in Melbourne, where AC/DC did the first gig out of the tour. And he paid homage to the late, great Bon Scott with a picture which ended up on social media, which I found. And it was a great photo, you know.
Yeah.
One great lead singer paying homage to another. Mm. It's nice to see. But
it is.
AC/DC's Melbourne concert at Melbourne Cricket Ground, which is a huge stadium, actually registered at an earthquake level of like, you know, just like sound and everything. Like you could hear it from miles away and it registered as like a Richter scale.
Was that Metallica or AC/DC?
AC/DC. It won't surprise me if Metallica did the same, but AC/DC had an earthquake sort of level.
Oh, really?
Which is unbelievable, actually.
That's mad.
But I could see it was on TikTok especially, those people who were miles away or nearby Melbourne, or they were just doing their own thing, you know, sat in their garden, going to the shop, and they could hear it from miles and miles away.
But you kind of expect something like that.
And they're like, who needs a ticket when I've got a free concert?
Exactly.
Like, I'm just doing my normal thing, and I can just hear it from, or I can just open my window, AC/DC's
free concert.
A free concert. And you could still hear it loud and clear as well. It wasn't muffled or anything. That'd be amazing.
It would. Sounds cool.
But we are going to move a bit locally, just away from the music scene, just briefly. And it's been a week since Sheffield Christmas Market opened.
Yeah.
You visited at the end of last week's show. I've been twice. So what do you think of it this year?
I think it's good. Yeah, it's weird seeing it kind of broken up into like two sections because of the roadworks in the middle. But other than that, I think it's really Christmassy feeling.
You always know it's near Christmas when...
Yeah.
The Sheffield Christmas Market is about, and it's got most of the stuff from, as you usually do every year, especially the food stalls.
Yeah.
They're lovely, the food stalls. I don't know if you've got a favourite one in particular, or you like a lot of them, or in general.
I've not really got a favourite. I've been to a couple, but not really a favourite, really.
I did the Bratwurst, where the German sausage... stall and the Bratwurst when I went on Saturday.
Yeah,
and I know people might say it's expensive, but I think it's worth the money. And it's only once a year.
Yeah,
Christmas Eve is the last day for most of all the food stalls. But I think the Alpine Lodge, the big Christmas bar, I think that opens. I think the lady behind the bar might have said past January actually.
Oh, really?
So they stay a bit longer then.
Yeah.
Than most of the stores, and I like going to the Alpine Lodge.
I've never been, really.
It's very Christmas, but they don't play Christmas music all the time. It's just, you know, your normal everyday songs, because I don't start listening to Christmas music until it turns December.
So it's in,
I mean, I don't mind hearing them in, like, shops or anything, like one or two, but and I've specifically avoided certain, because the Christmas music channels are on now. I avoid them for now, and then when it gets to December, I'll start getting into the spirit. But yeah, the Alpine Lodge is good. It's not just like beers and everything. There's mulled wine.
Yeah.
You can always smell it from like outside.
Yeah.
But it's in a good location, I think. It's the Christmas market. It's the busiest part of town.
Yeah.
Going into Fargate, and it goes down the moor as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, down the top of the moor.
So it's perfect location. But it happens every year, but I think they might have one or two things like new every year. But it's mainly the same, but as I say, it's only once a year, so it's not like you're going to get sick of it.
Yeah. Keep it interesting,
and you can get some good gifts from there as well. It's not just food and drink. There's some good I bought a couple of presents there.
Yeah.
Last year, especially the I'm not sure if it's there this year because I've not been down that part, but there was a candle stall.
I was there the other day. I don't recall seeing
It was when I was there last year, it was towards Fargate, just outside of Orchard Square. But they do like loads of good flavour. There was like a lemon drizzle cake flavour, like scented one, and an Earl Grey tea scented one.
I got
them for my mum from the store because she likes a candle.
Oh, yeah. And that sounds nice.
It makes a house smell nice as well. Mm. But it's not long till Christmas either. Just under 5 weeks is the 20th today. So is anything planned for Christmas so far? So just waiting an extra couple of weeks.
Well, I've nothing major planned for Christmas Day itself, but yeah, I've got seen family like a couple of weeks before Christmas, so like a Christmas family gathering sort of thing we usually have. So I've got that coming up.
I'm off to Tenerife.
Oh, nice!
I went last year. We used to have Christmas tradition with my grandparents, but sadly they're no longer with us now. So we just thought we need a change.
Yeah.
So we decided to do Tenerife last year, and we loved it.
That sounds
so
fun.
Much. I was like, right, we're going back next year.
That sounds fun.
It's not. I thought it was going to be like really strange. Well, it was a bit strange at first, being abroad for Christmas for the first time ever.
Yeah.
But what they do is because Tenerife's a big holiday resort, so there's people from all around Europe, and there's a lot of British people who come on the holiday. So they make it look like it's. Because the Spanish celebrate Christmas as well, but they make it feel like home almost. I mean, there's Christmas decorations, they play music in the establishments, there's big Christmas trees, there's like Santa's decorations. But what was weird is on Christmas Day, because Spain don't celebrate Christmas Day as we do, Christmas Eve is their celebration, so all places close early, they all go home with the families, they open presents together. Yeah. And then Christmas Day is just a normal working day for them.
Oh, is it?
It's like our Boxing Day. So the day after, everyone's had the celebrations, and it's just, back to work almost and waiting until next year for Christmas. But it is weird having a warm Christmas, though, that is one thing.
Yeah.
But it's a good thing because it gets far too cold here sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's already on the way to doing that now. Even though it's nice and it is sunny outside and clear sky almost, but as soon as we step out the studio after the show, I can guarantee I'll be freezing.
Yeah,
everything will just be freezing.
Yeah.
So as I said before the show, wrap up warm and just be careful. But we are going to get into some more music now, and this has kind of gone hidden with this specific part of the song. It's like the last minute of the song. It's a good guitar solo, but you wouldn't expect it when you listen to the rest of the song.
Yeah.
I've only noticed it in the last couple months when I've heard it on radio and TV and everything.
Yeah.
And it's a song by Kate Bush. It's one of two you might guess. But this one, particularly special, but just pay attention to the guitar solo at the end. And this is Wuthering Heights.
Could you leave me when I needed to possess you? If you love new music and you want to discover the best new artists out there, then tune into The Backroom with me, Paddy. I'll be playing the best of new indie, electro, EDM and punk and showcasing new Sheffield talent. Also music news, local and national gig guide and new album releases. So tune into The Backroom every Thursday night between 6 and 7pm here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
Kate Bush and Wuthering Heights, and as I said, pay attention to the guitar solo at the end. It was quite unknown, but it was a guy called Ian Benson, who's sadly no longer with us, but he was part of Pilot and the Alan Parsons Project and played saxophone, keyboard and guitar, but he's mainly a guitarist. And that is possibly one of the most underrated guitar solos I've... Because you wouldn't think it in a Kate Bush song.
Yeah, it's not usually the first thing.
Because it's sadly, it's only the last minute or 40 seconds to a minute of the song, so... It's kind of the best to last for some people. And I only noticed it really just a couple of months ago, and I can't stop listening to it now, really. But yeah, I don't know if Kate Bush will become popular again with her music. She's always been popular, but yeah. I wonder if any specific songs, because we've got Stranger Things coming up in a week. For us anyways, because it'll be an American release time, so it'll be like 1 o'clock in the morning for us. So I wonder any of her songs will return and make... Because Running Up That Hill got to number one, I believe, in 2022.
Yeah, it
after
did.
After around 40 years.
Yeah.
I know already, based on the trailer, Queens Who Wants to Live Forever's gone right up again, because he used that in the trailer, but like an edited version, like a sort of like an epic score version of it. But I've just quickly on sports, congratulations Scotland, by the way, qualifying for the World Cup. But I've just received news of Wales, Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland's opponents in the playoffs. Hopefully all three qualify, because I'd like to see an all-British and Irish, all them. So Northern Ireland will face Italy in Italy.
Oh, yeah.
Wales will face Bosnia and Herzegovina in Wales, so a nice home advantage for them. And the Republic of Ireland will face the Czech Republic in the Czech Republic, presumably Prague, but I'm not sure. But I hope all British and Ireland qualify, because I've said that for years. It's nice to see teams do well.
Yeah.
But the Scotland game the other day is one of the best games I've seen, like football. It had everything in it. It had the opening goal, you had a bicycle kick, then you had a long-range shot, then a goal from the halfway line, and you had a penalty scored. Everything you want in a football, and the atmosphere was great. Scotland almost do it better than everybody else, whether that's live music events, sports games, or in general.
Yeah.
To be back up in Scotland, I Hopefully I am up in Scotland.
I'd love to visit Scotland sometime.
Is there a specific city? I think Glasgow's my favourite from when I've been.
I'd like to visit Edinburgh for the Edinburgh Festival.
Yes, that's a good shout. Edinburgh's also good, but I've not really explored. Yeah. It was the zoo mainly I went to, but the city seems nice enough and quite easy to get to for me. It's just a direct train from Sheffield, as long as you're on. I think it's cross-country and maybe LNER go through. If not, Doncaster does a direct train as well. But we've only got about 10 minutes left for the show. It's going quick again. I'm not sure if that's because we've been doing plenty of talking. We've had plenty of good music so far. But it always goes quick. But it's been nearly a week since a certain game came out, which we've mentioned over the last few weeks on the show, and it's Call of Duty Black Ops 7. Have you played it yet? Or?
Not yet. I've got it installed through Game Pass.
Is it on Game Pass for everybody, or do you have to have certain? Because I'm going to go look when I get home.
I'm going to guess it's the highest tier Game Pass. I'm going to guess.
Is it Ultimate?
That's but I'm not too sure, so don't quote me on that. You'll have to check for yourself.
I've seen videos of it.
Yeah.
And it's a completely different setting to what you'd normally expect. It's slightly in the future, isn't it? But not like Infinite War future. It's not going to be in. It's not space, and there's no aliens or anything.
Yeah, kind of like how Black Ops 2 was set this year, but obviously the game came out. Was it 2012?
2012. Yeah, I remember when it released. Yeah.
So it's like a few years into the future, sort of thing. The immediate future, sort of thing.
The immediate future. So it's not too far away. Yeah. Like completely in the future.
Yeah.
But it's moving away from traditional COD a little bit, because COD's usually set in a wartime. I mean, we've had World War II as one of the main settings, which made its name almost.
Yeah, that's kind of what
it made COD, it did make Call of Duty. So I'd have to play it for myself, but I kind of like the idea of a little bit in the future.
Yeah.
But not too much in the future, because Infinite War, that's what ruined it for it, because it turned into too futuristic and it basically became Halo/Dead Space.
Yeah, I stopped after the Black Ops 2, in the original Modern Warfare 3 era. I stopped after them because of all the sci-fi stuff. I never thought it suited it.
No, Call of Duty will forever be like war.
Yeah, World War 2 and modern based for me.
In space, it's Star Wars Battlefront, Halo, Dead Space, games like that.
Games that are always known for that sort of stuff.
I hope Battlefield never do that. I hope they never go to space.
Yeah.
That's not Battlefield. Yeah. Keep on the ground.
Definitely.
Battlefield 6 is doing okay for now, I think.
Yeah.
Is it a month now since it was released?
Something like
Around 6 weeks.
A month or 2 months, something like
that. I've never got it yet, even though I played the beta.
Yeah.
Not religiously, but I played a lot of it, and I'm like, I'm going to get this game.
Yeah.
I might get it eventually still, but I've heard the campaign isn't, just on reviews, it's not my opinion, so I'm not trying to slate the game or anything, but I've heard the campaign could be a bit better.
Yeah, I've started the campaign and I got about halfway through and I just stopped.
The online's great, I've heard.
Yeah, the gameplay for the campaign is good. Well, for the whole game, online and campaign, the gameplay is good. But when I play a campaign, I like a good story as well.
Yeah, you want to have two together, balance it, because not many games have that.
Yeah.
There's only a few exceptions.
Yeah.
No, literally, for example, Red Dead Redemption 2. It had a great story.
It's one of my favourite games.
It's the best story mode I've played. It had a great story mode, but the online wasn't as good.
Yeah.
Speaking of Red Dead, actually, I think there's a remastered version of the first game and the Undead Nightmare coming to the next-gen consoles.
I've heard,
I shall be purchasing that. I think it might be put on Game Pass straight away. I don't know if it is. I'd like to think it is.
Judging from the trailer that I saw of it, it doesn't look like it's much of a remaster, more of just like a re-release for current consoles.
But it's not like a Skyrim or Oblivion where they fully remastered the game.
Well, that's just judging from what very little I've seen from it, so I could be wrong, because I've got the 360 version myself, for the Xbox 360.
Yeah.
Which is backwards compatible on the Xbox One and the Series X. And that's how I've been playing it. So from what very little I've seen of the new, the re-release trailer, it looks graphically not much better than it was.
I mean, I know when back, well, going past 10 years ago now, when GTA 5 came to next gen Xbox One at the time, before you know Series X, Series S, they had done quite a lot with the graphics.
Yeah,
but I don't know if Red Dead will do that because it's such. Well, it's 15 years old now. The game.
Yeah.
15 years old.
I know.
That's hard to believe, just saying that.
I was still in school.
I was only about 7, 8 when it came out.
When did it come out? 2011?
10.
2010.
And then Undead Nightmare was...
I must have been about 13, 14 when it came out, I think.
And Undead Nightmare following it as well. It's one of it wasn't a DLC, it was a completely different disc.
Undead Nightmares. I think it was kind of similar to, do you know, the Lost and Damned DLC for GTA 4. And it was kind of like that in a way. Like, it is technically a DLC, but it adds more to it, sort of thing.
My younger brother's been playing both on... he's still on old gen, but he doesn't play online or anything on the PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
And he plays it non-stop now, Red Dead and Undead Nightmare.
Yeah.
And he's played Red Dead 2 as well. Mm. But I don't know if there's going to be a Red Dead 3, because from what I've heard, it's going to be years away.
I have heard rumour, though, that there might be one.
I think there is going to... It'll be the last one, though, I think.
Yeah, I just wonder how they're going to do it, like, story-wise.
But I hope we're not waiting as long as we are for GTA 6 for it.
Yeah.
I mean, between Red Dead and Red Dead 2, it was 8 years.
Yeah.
It felt like longer, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
It was going to be a year off, but then Red Dead 2 was delayed.
Yeah.
And then, worth the wait, though. Worth the wait. But we had the news the other week about GTA 6 being delayed yet again.
Yeah.
I think it's a year... yesterday marks a year until it's released, unless, touch wood, doesn't get delayed again.
Hopefully we get no more delays. But I would rather delay it, knowing that they're working on the game to make the game as good as it can be.
I hope it's the best game I've ever played.
Rather than like a Cyberpunk sort of situation where they release it too soon and it's broken sort of thing.
I know Cyberpunk, I think, tweeted about it, been there, done that.
Yeah.
Because I know when Cyberpunk released, it was quite glitchy and buggy, then fixed it, and then it became a great game.
Yeah.
So I don't mind waiting. I have quite a lot of patience, but it's the fact it's been like 2-3 times now it's been delayed, but I hope it's the best game we've ever played, and I hope they've been working hard on it.
I hope so, yeah.
And, yeah, I just hope it's worth the wait. And because I know that it looks rather realistic, more than GTA 5, just from the trailers. I just wonder what they're going to... Are they going to have, like, extra radio stations?
Yeah.
I hope they put some good music on, because I know GTA 5 had some good songs they put on the radio station. Still listen to today as well.
Yeah.
The rock radio was probably the best one, for many reasons. We like rock music, a pair of us.
It was Kenny Loggins who did the voice for the radio host for that station.
It was,
Highway to the Danger Zone, that guy.
And I think Nonstop Pop was Cara Delevingne.
It was.
So they had some celebrity cameos.
Yeah.
Which is good. But we're coming to the end of the show yet again.
Yeah.
And it feels like a minute since I walked into the studio and played Smoke on the Water.
Yeah. Time flies when you're having fun.
It is, and we always have good chats here on the show, don't we? And I hope, Chris, if you're at home, I hope you listen. I hope we've done okay and everything, and we hope to have you back in the studio soon again, where we're all gathered around the table. But we are looking for more volunteers always, and we'll always will, I think. But if you want to join us, gathered around this table, talking about things from music to TV shows to video games, just talking about anything really for an hour, please get in contact with us via the website. And you can also contact our producer, Chris, via chrisdinelli89@gmail.com. Brad, thank you for joining me yet again. And
good, yes. Always enjoy being here.
You'll be here. We'll be here next week.
Yeah.
And last thing before we leave, Monday is the Tramlines lineup announcement.
It is.
I think it's at 6 o'clock in the evening. So next week we'll have the news for you on who's headlining and the other acts as well.
Cool. And
Still hoping for Def Leppard.
I'm hoping for them. It'd be nice.
Seriously hoping for Def Leppard.
One of the biggest Sheffield based bands.
Considering it's during their tour, and there's a little space in between one tour and the other, and yeah. It happens to be free of Tramwine's weekend.
Yeah.
I hope they've worked hard to get them because
yeah.
Everyone will go and see them. Even though they are doing the arena show yeah. anyways.
Sheffield Arena.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they are coming home, but Pulp also did the same. They did Sheffield yeah. Arena and still did Tramwine, so hopefully. But next week we'll have news on the Tramwine's acts. But once again, Brad, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
I've been Oliver Dixon, and we're going to end the show, on a sort of soft song. It's more streamed than possibly their most famous song on Spotify, mm-hmm. but this is a nice soft song just to end the show, and it is Kansas with Dust in the Wind.
If you like rock in all its forms, you will love Glory Days. You can listen to us locally on 93.2 FM and on the telly, and anywhere in the world on sheffieldlive.org. What do you think, Don? You know what? I think he likes it. That's Glory Days, every Monday 1 till 3 here on Sheffield Live. Bosh, bosh. Oops, I've had an accident. Thank you.